Good morning, everyone. In today's gospel, you will hear one of my favorite passages of all time, where Jesus welcomes little children into his arms. When I read that text in preparing for today's sermon, I thought, oh, we have the perfect opening hymn, Little Children Welcome. So I went into my notes to look at when we've sung this in the past, and according to my notes, it was never. I don't think we have sung this one from my notes as far as I could tell. So I thought, well, the perfect opportunity this morning was to teach it, and we'll learn it together during the prelude time. So if you would please take out your hymnal and open to our opening hymn, 323, Little Children Welcome. And we'll learn this together. I'm going to sing a measure, and you're going to sing it back. It goes like this. Little children welcome, little children welcome. One more time. Ready, and little children welcome. Good, the next two goes. Earth is yours to live in. Earth is yours to live in. Halfway there. And now we're going to sing the last line together. It goes like this. Arms of love protect you, little children welcome. Here we go. Arms of love protect you, little children welcome. I'll say, all right, this sounds like a congregation that wasn't expecting to be taught a hymn during the prelude time, so we're going to try something else. Would you all please stand for me? Thank you very much. Now, the trick to making this hymn work is we have to put our mindset as if we are a child. And we're all children, children of God. So we're going to hold the hymnal in one hand, and I want you to take your free hand, and I want you to sway back and forth. Sway, so almost that if I was to get dizzy when looking out at you, but we don't want that to happen, but sway back and forth, and we're going to sing. Here we go, little children, welcome. Earth is yours to live in. Arms of love protect you, little children, welcome. Well done, my friends. We're ready to sing our opening hymn.
That's that. Okay. I'm on. You can all be seated. Thank you. I could lead you in a song, I guess. I don't know. Good morning. Welcome on this beautiful Sunday morning, a wonderful day outside, a wonderful day to be in the beauty of this place, gathered in a spirit of worship this morning. I want to extend a special welcome to those who might be visiting with us, particularly those who are here for the first time. If this is your first time worshiping with us here at St. John's, welcome. There's a card in the pew right in front of you that looks a little like this. Take a moment to fill that out when you have a second. It just gives us a little information about you so we can thank you for being with us this morning, and an opportunity for you to learn a little bit more about us. And I trust that all of you know, whether visitor or not, that no matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So welcome. I do have a few announcements to share this morning. The first one is about greeters. We heard an announcement last week, and I just want to reiterate that. The elders have asked me to share this again. So greeters are returning to welcome members and visitors to St. John's. There is a sign-up sheet in the narthex. Two people will greet at the center doors in the narthex, and one person at the ramp door in the back. Those who have already signed up for Umbrella Ministry, your names have been transferred to the new sign-up list. So you just need a smile and a pleasant attitude, which I know we can all muster on a Sunday morning. So see Ann Kinsey or Sally Adkiss if you have any questions about that. The greeters are different than our hospitality folk. They are, while they do many of the same jobs, the greeters are really just in the back center doors to be a friendly face, to make sure everybody has what they need, and just to say good morning and welcome. So certainly not a difficult job, but a very important one in the life of our church. So if that interests you, see Ann Kinsey or Sally Atkiss. I'm taking a look at the announcements that are in our bulletins. There's lots there to read. Spring goodie boxes due today. The table over there is very full, which makes me happy. So that's wonderful. Those will be packaged and sent out soon. The March Women's Retreat will be held on Saturday, March 9th. So that's coming up at 9:30 a.m. There's information over here, and you may have seen a suitcase that's sort of filling up with books, and now they're spilling onto the floor, which is a wonderful thing, about our mission project with the children of Malawi. So take a look at that. There's some information about One Great Hour of Sharing. So lots to see here in the midst of our bulletin. I did want to share also a special announcement about Wednesday evening. We've been in our book study, we've been studying a wonderful book about grief. This week, we're kind of taking a pause, not from the subject, but from the book, and we will be joined by Ren Miller from Huff and LeCure Funeral Home. He'll be joining us as we take a look at grief from his perspective as a professional in the funeral industry and someone who truly treats his work as a ministry. So looking forward to that. So please join us, even if you haven't read the book. We'll be in the library at 6. For about 45 minutes to an hour, just to have a discussion with him, and I'm sure he'd be happy to answer any and all questions that come his way. He's a wonderful person, so looking forward to that. And for our last announcement, I'm going to invite Mark Bruin to come forward.
Boy, I got quiet. Good morning, St. John's. It's nice to see all your smiling faces out there today. My announcement today is about our plan to help improve communications between council and staff and the congregation. We're having another one of our meetings, sessions downstairs at the social hour at the table there, to talk about council. If you have any questions about church council, please come up and talk to us. And the other thing that we'll be doing is for anyone who is a new member of council this year, we have an information packet for you, so you can stop by, get the information packet. And again, if you have any questions about how council operates or what the different roles are, please come up and talk to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark. All right, there's a lot to keep in mind in the days and weeks ahead, but for right now, I'm going to encourage you, me, all of us together, to put those to another part of our brain to access at another time. They will be there waiting for us when we are done worshiping. But for now, I want to invite you to join me in taking a deep and slow breath. As we breathe in God's Spirit that fills this place, that fills each one of us as we worship, take a moment to exhale, to intentionally set aside all the things that are busying your heart and your mind, all the places you need to be, all the things you need to do, so that you can be very intentional about being here in this time and in this place and with these people as we focus our hearts and minds in a spirit of worship this morning.
Good morning, church. If you look over at the cross, you will see the beginnings of a paper chain. During the first Sunday of Lent, we invited you to reflect upon a question, and we had you turn those responses in, and we've been building this chain, and there are slips of paper at either end of your pews. So each Sunday in Lent, we offer a new question, a new way for you to reflect, and we continue to build our chain. So this week's question is, when has your ego gotten the best of you? So at any point during the service, if you want to jot something down, and we're going to ask you to either place it in the offering plate when it is passed, or you can come up and place it in this basket. There are also some slips of paper here. But this week's Lenten reflection question is, when has your ego gotten the best of you? Our theme really will revolve around our ego. And Jesus, well, amazingly, when the disciples begin to sort of compare their egos, Jesus interrupts them, takes a little child into his arms, and says, this is what you need to be paying attention to. The child in ourselves, the child that is not trying to put on a show to impress. And so with that, I'd like to ask you to stand if you are able as we begin our worship this morning. Lent is the season when we take a serious look at ourselves.
Praising God is powerful, but we've also been invited to follow Jesus.
That means getting into spiritual shape. It includes taking a look at the parts of ourselves we've pushed out of sight and out of mind.
Worship is our safe place, the place in which God is ready to cast light on our shadows and release our deepest fears.
Worship is the moment when we are opened and filled, renewed and restored. Let us join together now in our confession. God of grace and glory, Each one of us looks for signs of acceptance and validation. It's natural. But what if we mean that our ego is trapped through the constant need for approval or through the need to constantly criticize others in order to feel good? What if we are living life in which we are constantly focusing on what others do and think, comparing ourselves to everyone around us? Jesus would say we are focusing on the need for greatness and missing the point of life. He even went as far as to take a child into his arms as a lesson in humility. God, forgive us for the times we have mistaken self-ambition for service and mistaken power for prerogative and privilege. Teach us, Lord, that your definition of power comes in the form of including those who are powerless and vulnerable, those who speak from the margins, and those whom we often regard as not as good. Lord, hear our prayer.
The journey toward wholeness begins with a simple step, an honest assessment of self combined with the opportunity to confess that we have missed the mark. God hears and sympathizes. God freely forgives. Our faith is rooted in progress, not perfection. Thanks be to God.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. When they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Amen.
All right, I'm going to be a little vulnerable here, because I don't really see our kids this morning. I know there's a variety of reasons why our little ones are probably not here. I know some of them are sick, some of them are tired, some of them are on trips, some of them perform sports, all sorts of things. And the temptation would be for us to sort of cancel the children's message, right? Except for our scripture lesson this morning, right? Did you hear that one? So the irony is not lost on me. In fact, I looked over at Dale as Andrew was sharing his announcement in the beginning, and I said, I don't think there's any kids here. So I'm relying on the Holy Spirit in this moment. The Holy Spirit who speaks when I do not know the words to say, thank God. But I do want to take a moment to acknowledge that, to acknowledge that our little ones are not here this morning for a variety of reasons, not drawing blame to them, but rather offering an invitation. We know what church feels like when they're not here and something is missing, right? Especially up here where our little ones sit, you feel like something is missing. And what a wonderful thing to feel that kind of love that feels when it's not here. And we miss the sounds of their voices, and we miss their energy, and we miss them coming forward. And so I want to offer that as an invitation to our community. Jesus, we have a Savior that valued the voices of the little ones, that valued our children in our midst. I always say that to have a church with children, you have to have adults who like children, because children don't just come out of nowhere, right? It is our responsibility as people of the church to foster and nurture a community that loves children. So I'm not saying that's not the reason why they're not here this morning, but I am saying that we have an opportunity to continue doing that work. And this morning we have an opportunity to surround them wherever they are, the children we know and love, the children we have not yet met, who we will welcome. We have an opportunity to pray for them this morning. So will you join me in prayer? Loving God, we give you thanks for children, for their joy, for their enthusiasm, for their sounds and noises, for their energy, for their love. And God, we give you thanks for the children that call St. John's home. We ask that you surround them wherever they are now with their families and loved ones, parents. We ask that you be with them, that you remind them of your love and presence in their life. And God, we pray for the children that we have not yet met, the children who will find a home within these walls, the children who touch our lives on a daily basis, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nieces and nephews and loved ones. And God, we ask that you see them and love them and surround them now in this moment. God, face us with the opportunity to continue to do that work, to continue to welcome children into our lives, into our midst, into our church. For when we know more children, we know more about you. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's say the Lord's Prayer together.
Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Well, 2 years ago, I was waiting in line to enter the car wash. Have you ever waited in line at the car wash? It's a thrilling experience. You know that feeling of inching forward, slowly but surely. Except on this particular day, the car behind me rear-ended me with such force that it pushed me into the pickup in front of me. And my car was damaged, not only in the rear, but in the front. And the driver who rammed into me was profusely apologetic. She had hit the accelerator instead of the brake. And I was really quite happy with myself in that I stayed calm. End of story. Got the car repaired. Except two years later, the paint started peeling off my rear and front bumper. And this time I began to feel some anxiety rising up in myself. I would take it back to the body shop, right? But would they say, tough luck? Would they say that the warranty for the repairs had expired? I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been in so many situations like this, where you have a legitimate concern and a problem and you are dismissed. We're sorry, we can't help you. You're out of luck. So I spent a lot of time bracing for what I thought was going to be a knockdown, drag-out negotiation with the body shop. You know how you rehearse everything in your head and you go over it, and it's like getting ready for battle. William James, who is often referred to as the father of American psychology, he was also a professor at Harvard. He taught psychology in the late 1800s. Spent a lot of time thinking about what we today refer to as our ego. Now, ego is the part of us that interfaces with the world. And this ego makes every effort to make ourselves look good and to make ourselves look strong. It's what we present to the world. And it does not want the world to think we're weak. And William James referred to the ego as the me. The me. And according to author Donna Hicks, who has done a lot of research on William James, The me is all about seeking approval. It's all about looking good in front of others. And it has a self-righteous streak. The ego also likes to exact revenge. So as I was preparing to take my car to the body shop with the paint peeling off my bumpers, I could feel my me, you know, kind of puffing up, getting ready to frame myself as a victim and the body shop as the villain. The me, the ego, is always seeking, you know, validation, either seeing itself as a victim or a hero. And the me, the ego, becomes the engine for self-worth. And this me is also very quick to criticize others. So part of me was thinking, this body shop, they don't know what they're doing. The ego is constantly looking for ways, unconsciously, of course, to see ourselves as better, superior to others. By being quick to criticize others, the me simultaneously goes on offense and defense. The criticism's on you, and I tell myself that I'm better. I know more. I'm right. Now here's the thing. The ego, the me, makes every effort to reinforce the good, that good image, tells ourselves that we're right, that we know best. And our me or our ego does not like to hear bad news about ourselves. It keeps the focus on how good we are, how great we are, the fact that we're right. Oh, the ego loves it. That is until the other part of us, William James called this part of us the I, the authentic self, until the I shines a light on the me. You see, the I is the core, the spiritual, the curious, the part of us that responds to mystery, awe, and wonder. The I is open. The eye is thoughtful, patient, not quick to judge. And this eye, this part of us, this sacred part of us, knows that we're precious and we're beloved, and that we do not need to prove it to anyone else. We don't have to win the acceptance of others. We don't have to work to impress. We don't have to put on a show or a performance. According to William James, the I, this core of our being, this spiritual core of our being, is actually stronger than the me. but it needs to be fed. You can feed your ego, or you can feed your soul. So my I had a little talk with my me before going to the body shop. And my I was saying, Dale, you need to focus on curiosity. Ask the body shop, what do you think happened? And Dale, my I was saying, Dale, here's another thing. You need to focus on the dignity of the people at the body shop. Don't assume they were trying to cut corners. Don't go there. So when I arrived at the body shop, I was graciously greeted, and then I calmly explained what happened. And the man at the body shop said, hey! He jumped up and with some curiosity and some enthusiasm, hey, let's go outside and take a look at this car. Actually, two guys went out there. And he looked at the car and they said, oh, that's on us. When can you drop the car off? Take us 3 days. Well, whoa. Okay. I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for a gracious, inviting, supportive response. Turns out there's a manufacturer's defect in the material used to bond the paint to the plastic bumper. What do you know? While Jesus and his disciples took a break from the crowd, Jesus thought it would be a good time to do some teaching, and he began to tell his followers that he was going to be betrayed and then executed. And of course, the disciples did not understand what Jesus was saying, and furthermore, they said to themselves, let's not do any follow-up questions here. This feels weird. So instead, what the disciples end up doing is arguing among themselves about who's best. Who's the greatest? This began the battle of the egos. It reminds me of the old Smothers Brothers. Smothers Brothers, you remember the Smothers Brothers? Some of you remember that routine when Tommy Smothers yells at his brother Dick saying, Mom always liked you best. There was actually a song they wrote about that. Mom always liked you best. The disciples were probably wondering who among them Jesus liked best. Who's the favorite? Who's the greatest? And when Jesus asked the disciples what they were talking about, the disciples once again went silent, this time out of embarrassment. And then Jesus did something very radical. He picked up a little child and placed the child in his arms. And then Jesus said that anyone who welcomes this child welcomes me, Jesus. And if you welcome me, Jesus, you're welcoming God. Jesus was saying that this little child represents the I, not the me. Now, we have come a very, very long way in how we view children. But I want you to know this. In the ancient world, in the Roman world, children were non-persons. Seriously. Very little regard for a child. They were nobodies. When you became an adult, oh, that's when you were a real person. That's when you could become a Roman citizen. And so Jesus is stressing to his disciples that these children, these nobodies, are somebodies. Every person, regardless of their status, has an I, a precious, precious soul. To talk about greatness is foolish. It's arrogance. Now, this challenge of me goes beyond individuals. You see, there are all kinds of organizations, all kinds of churches, and they wrestle with the relationship between the corporate me and their corporate I. The corporate me of an organization or a church, you know, they like to project very positive picture. You want to look good. You want to project strength. You're not happy about criticism. And, you know, when we read these Gospels, we ask ourselves, why is Jesus getting in so much trouble with the religious community? Well, because the community is focused on, it's me. It's focused on self-righteousness and self-assurance. Challenges to the status quo, not welcomed. That put Jesus in a lot of trouble. But living within organizations, regardless of whether it's a company you work for, or an agency that you're a part of, or a church, there's also a corporate I. There's a soul. There's a part of any organization that seeks to be curious, that wants to be open and joyful and creative. A part of it that's concerned with discovery and becoming spiritually meaningful. I think we hear about this all the time, about people in communities who are spiritual but not religious. There's a yearning for authenticity and connection. So as individuals, we need a me and an I. And those things need to be in conversation with each other. Right? They work together. The me would like to think it can operate without an I. And it likes to push the I away. And then this I, this soul that is deep, deep within us, quietly and faithfully tries to remind our ego, our me, that it's not about looking good. It's about seeking the true, the good, the beautiful, justice, love. And this is what Jesus spent his life trying to teach his disciples and us. Our egos like to spend energy on appearances. The I, on the other hand, likes to whisper to us that true greatness entails listening, curiosity, a willingness to learn and be transformed. That is the reason for Lent. That's why we do this journey every year. And that is good news. Amen.
Be seated. As we move into our time of prayer this morning, we have just one joy that's been shared in our book this morning, and that is a happy birthday to Scott Vanderberg, who is celebrating a birthday today. So we celebrate with Scott. I know that each of us comes to this place, to this time of prayer, with our own joys and concerns. Even though they're not written in the book, many of us are carrying them. Actually, all of us are carrying them. So I want to invite you to bring those to mind now, perhaps people, situations, things that are weighing heavily on your heart and mind. Bring those to mind now as we lift them up to God together in prayer. God, you are gracious and loving, not just to us or to those we deem worthy, but to all people, to the first, to the last, to those who walk on paths that we recognize and approve of, and yes, even to those who we think are wandering off the path. Remind us this day that all are worthy and deserving and in need of your mercy, your grace, and your healing presence. Remind us, O God, that time spent arguing about who is the greatest is time taken away from sharing the good news of your greatest gift, your abundant love. Love for all people, the littlest, the least, the lost. God, we pray that we have the grace to walk together this path of discipleship and friendship without wasting our time thinking about who is most important. Instead, guide our thoughts and our emotions. Instead, direct our gaze toward your kingdom, a kingdom where nobodies are somebodies, a kingdom where the poor are rich and the last are first. Guide our feet, O God, that we can allow ourselves to depend not on ourselves, but on your companionship, your guidance, eagerly and joyfully accepting your direction and teaching, welcoming all with hopeful and optimistic hospitality and love. God, as we think about those who are heavy on our hearts and minds this day, we remember that we are all connected as a church community and as people made in your image. We take time now, O God, to lift up friends and loved ones in need of healing, in need of comfort, in need of hope, in need of peace. And God, as you hear our prayers of concern, we also know you hear our prayers of celebration. God, we ask that you surround Scott as life is celebrated, as we give thanks for his birth and for his life among us. And God, we take a moment now to lift up all those who are rejoicing, celebrating life's joyful moments. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers also, O God, for our children, little ones who have been called first in your heart and kingdom. Kindle within us a childlike faith that we might trust in your power to heal the wounded hearts, restore the brokenness of the world, and lead us all towards everlasting peace. All of these things we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
We have the opportunity now to give our tithes and offerings. I will remind you, there's a variety of ways that we're doing that these days. We've restored our pew, passing the plate communion, as I call it. So in just a moment, our ushers will come forward and do that. You're also more than welcome to continue to drop your envelopes at the entrances. There's still plates there. You can come forward and give it after the service. You can also give electronically. So just a reminder of all the many ways. We give thanks for all the ways that we give, both in our offering and our gifts, times, and talents. But bearing all of that in mind, let us receive this morning's offering.
God, we give you thanks for the gifts that have been shared, and most importantly, for the hands and the hearts that have shared them. God, we put our trust in you, that you guide us to use these gifts in ways that glorify you, that honor you, that do your work, that further your kingdom, not ours. All of these things we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
Lord, I'm
want to remind you to take a few minutes, if you're able, following the service, to greet one another. And then furthermore, if you'd like some goodies, we have some refreshments downstairs, an opportunity to restore that part of your soul. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.